Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
The text for our sermon the sixth Sunday of Easter, comes from the Acts reading. Verse 44, we learn and see that the Holy Spirit works through the word and sacrament. While Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apparently, this Acts reading is not the only epistle that is being read today. So I invite you, the letter that you've received at the beginning of the service, you hold on to that for afterward, and let us focus on God's word. The Holy Spirit works through the word and sacrament. We find ourselves today, our context, in John 15, where we picked up last week, where the crucifixion of Christ has not yet happened, that the disciples are still wondering what it is going to mean that God is true man. But after Jesus is raised, Easter Sunday, everyone's wondering if Jesus' teaching is going to change. Is Jesus' doctrine going to be different now that he's been crucified and raised from the dead? Something does change after Easter, and the thing that changes is how God is present with his people. How is Christ with us? It was rather simple to know if Jesus was with you when Jesus was walking around Galilee and all these places with his disciples. Jesus was human just like us. You knew if Jesus was with you because you could see him, you could feel him, you could touch him. When God becomes man in Jesus, he willingly submits himself to the laws of nature. He gets hungry. He gets sad, happy, angry. This is also then why God, the author of life, can die. But now, as he's raised on Easter, his presence with his creation is going to be different. Just like how Christmas and the birth of Christ changed how God's presence was with his people from the Old Testament, now Christ's presence after Easter is also different. So today our readings in this Easter season, it focuses our attention on how Christ is with us. How does he give his grace to us? He's not standing right here. I can't touch him. I can't feel him. How does he give his mercy? How does Christ fulfill this promise he made? Lo, I am with you always till the end of the age. How does he fulfill the promise? Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. I mean, is that it? Is it just like a general promise that he's sort of with us in some way? That he's hanging around here in some magical way? Or does God become flesh and be raised from the dead to give you certainty? Are we given certainty that Christ is indeed helping us and serving us in concrete ways? Imagine you go to the doctor and you're not feeling well. The doctor says, well, you have an illness. You're pretty sick. But the good news is it's curable. Great, you think. Well, this is good news. Except when you ask for the medicine, the doctor says, well, you just kind of hang around the doctor's office and you'll get better. That'll be $300. Just wait. The treatment, it'll happen. What? Yeah, just hang around my office and you know that when you feel better, you know you're better. Well, that doctor, of course, wouldn't stay in business very long. Well, many people maybe not, right? As I hear some of you laugh, maybe that's just how it works nowadays. Well, many people treat Christianity that way. That the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, the presence of Jesus, is just some floating feeling that if you hang around church enough, if you sing enough praise music, you'll get some spiritual help. The forgiveness of sins is just some feeling you get. Last week in John 15, Jesus said, "My Father is a vine dresser." He also tells the disciples, "You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Here in John 15, Jesus is showing the disciples that he desires to work through the outward word. He desires to work through the preaching and the sacraments. That there isn't just some general idea that God will help us. No, it is concrete, it is certain, and it is sure. That's why Christ is raised from the dead, to give you certainty. And so that's why today we have this reading from Acts. This reading where we hear, while Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The Holy Spirit desires to come to us in no other way except through the word of God. Because God desires you to not guess where the remedy for sin is to be found, but for you to be given a promise that God is for you, that he loves you. In John 6, Jesus also teaches this. He says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The word that I have spoken to you is spirit and life." Also, too, in 1 Corinthians, Paul touches on this idea that the Holy Spirit works through the word. St. Paul says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." Luke is pointing us today to the fact that the Holy Spirit worked through Peter's word because he was preaching the word of God. It's important that we see this and that we learn this lesson that the Holy Spirit works through the word of God and not through our own preparations, not through our own efforts, because this is precisely how the devil leads us astray. First, we're tempted to despair, or we think something's missing in our life. That maybe God has shorted us, that our life isn't as easy as we think it should be, or we don't have enough money or good health. Then the devil likes to convince you to look inside yourself and to say, "Yeah, I'm right. In fact, I know what God should do for me." The devil likes to turn us inward for assurance, to find truth, that I'm right in my judgment. The devil tricked Adam and Eve in this way in the fall, when the devil told them to listen to themselves and not the word of God. And not only is it our sinful flesh that likes to convince us to look inside, but also false teachers try to lead us from the certainty of God's word. This is what Oprah does in her religion, where she and her gurus say, "Oh, just follow your heart. Do what seems right to you. Look to yourself." Or false religions like Mormonism has a holy book apart from the word of God. Or the Quran in Islam, they all want to find God apart from the word. But what does Peter do? He preaches the word of God, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works. And then what does Peter do? Peter, just like Philip did last week, remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch about baptism from the book of Isaiah. The disciples, they just can't help talking about baptism. They can't help taking this word of God and pouring it physically over people so that they would know their sins are forgiven. The folks in our reading from Acts today, they heard the word, they received the Holy Spirit, but yet then Peter says, "So let's baptize them." And the question often is, well, why? Why then, if they have the Holy Spirit, why does Peter say this? Why doesn't he just say, "Okay, you're good"? Well, first, this should give us a picture of how important baptism is. And second, because the point is assurance. Baptism is the word of God being given to you personally. In John 3, Jesus calls it a washing of water and the Spirit. Our Lord gives us baptism, as Peter says in his epistle, for a clean conscience. Peter writes, baptism now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but for an answer for a clean conscience. Peter tells the people to be baptized because that is God telling you, hey, you're healthy. That is God giving the remedy against our doubts, even our own sinful flesh, against false teachers who would try to tell us that baptism isn't important. Peter tells the people to be baptized because he wants them to personally have God's promise. Anyone can claim they're healthy. Can you imagine being sick in bed in the hospital and saying, ah, I'm healthy. Fit, as my grandfather used to say, fit as a fiddle. Everyone would say, you're crazy. Just like anyone can say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus himself says, you will come to me and you will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say to you, I do not know you. Anyone can claim to be a Christian. But our Lord gives us baptism as a promise of God claiming you, giving you the Holy Spirit, preaching the word to you, and even further, to remove all of our doubts, all of our sickness of sin that bothers our conscience, that in baptism and the promise of God's forgiveness, all of that's taken care of. That the death-defeating work of Christ is a promise given to you that not even death can take it away. That this is the medicine for us to fight against those sinful urges in us. It's almost like a sickness that we have inside of us. Guilt, sadness, anger, jealousy. Christ our Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a promise that his word and sacrament will give you that rest. And this isn't just a, hey, come to Jesus and you might feel better. The promises of Christ and the Holy Spirit working through the word and sacrament are promises that are true even when you don't feel it. Just like our kids, we go to the doctor, we give them medicine the first day, and they say, I don't feel any better. It's not working. Well, we tell them, let the medicine work. The word of God does its work on you even if you don't feel it. So persevere. Turn from sin and temptation. That's sickness. So too, just like the doctor, a good doctor is identified where someone gives out medicine according to its use, so also that's how we define the church. Wherever God's word is rightly taught and the sacraments given out according to that word. Jesus said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is for your assurance. Our great physician tells us we are sick. And he tells us that so we know where to find healing. So we know where to find bodily healing, because like bodily illness, sometimes sin can sneak up on us. Sometimes it can pop up when we neglect repentance, when we feed our pride. We say, I'm not sick, it's the other guy. Or our prayer life is lacking. Or we aren't hearing the word of God. We can get pretty sick. But the wonderful promise of Christ is that he helps you in real ways. So what should we do? Well, we go where our Lord treats us. In Acts 3, Peter says this, repent, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Peter fully expects the presence of Christ will be with his people through the word. And he is. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 1:21, since the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Jesus in John 17 said, Father, sanctify them by their truth. Your word is truth. I do not pray for these alone, but for them which will believe on me through the disciples' word. And you know what? We're the only Christian denomination that believes this. We are the only ones who believe that the Holy Spirit works only through the word and sacrament. That Christ works apart from our own preparation. We can't pray a sinner's prayer. Even today, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. We can't ask Christ into our hearts. Most American denominations and those who claim non-denomination, they've denied that the Holy Spirit works through baptism and the Lord's Supper. They believe the sacraments have no effective power. But you need to do something, they believe. We believe precisely as Peter is teaching in Acts today teaches us. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. The Roman Catholic Church believes that the power of the sacraments is dependent upon the Pope giving such ability. The assurance is not in Christ and his promises, but on the man who gives it. No, we Lutherans, we can readily agree with this verse from Acts today. The Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and we say, Amen. Because it still happens today, because Christ our Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.